Father in heaven, we are thankful for your grace and this text, simple and straightforward as it is, speaks about the priority of love. And I pray that you'd be pleased even now to pour your love out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Grant that grace to us, we pray together. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I go directly to the sermon, I want to say a word about voice. Some have said to me, Denny, no one would ever fall asleep while you're preaching. And my response always is, but you're not up where I am. I can see who is asleep. So that's not meant as a warning. Our text again is 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. When I had the privilege of returning home after a time here at the seminary here in Pittsburgh, one of the elders of our congregation in Sterling approached me, and he had a very specific question for me. The question was one that he has asked me more than once. Does the seminary teach students how to interact with others in the church? Does the seminary teach students anything about personal interactions and relationships, how to deal with a session, how to work on a committee, how to work in these various areas? And I said, interestingly enough, next quarter, I have a class that, among other things, will involve that very issue. And I think what this particular elder was concerned about is, do the students of the seminary understand that Christ's priority is love? That Christ's priority is loving God and loving one another. And I think 1 Timothy speaks about that very plainly. And I think our text tonight in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 speaks about it. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. The Apostle Paul is writing to the fledgling minister Timothy, and he has several concerns as this young minister is laboring in the church at Ephesus. And he's concerned about the fact that there are some who would be interested in speculative matters, and perhaps speculative matters that have to do with theology. He's concerned about individuals who are deeply interested in teaching the law of God, but do not understand the real reasons for the law of God. And so he urges this pastor, Timothy, not to engage in speculative matters and to warn others about that, and not to engage in a wrong approach to the law of God. But he says, the goal of our instruction is love out of a pure heart and a clear conscience, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And as I stand before you this evening, it is my deep conviction, as this is a text that comes home to me very strongly, it is my deep conviction that in the seminary, we must trust that God will utilize our instruction to build love in our students which will be replicated in the churches that they, in turn, will pastor. I think that's what the text leads us to in the context we find ourselves this evening. So, with that in mind, and I'll try and watch the clock, with that in mind, I'd like to direct our attention to this particular text. Notice that the Apostle Paul tells us very directly, the goal of our instruction is love. And by divine inspiration, he's telling us that we have something to teach. And I think if we understand this properly, we understand that God is the one who gives us that which we are to teach. He gives us our instruction. The word actually could be translated command. In the New American Standard Version, in verse 18, it says, "This command I entrust to you." It's the same word. It's a command and an instruction, and Paul is talking about that in this particular book of 1 Timothy. And all you have to do is look through the pages just briefly. Chapter 2 and verse 1. "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men," part of the instruction. Chapter 3, "It is a trustworthy statement if a man aspires to be to the office of overseer." And Paul gives instructions concerning the eldership. In chapter 4, he talks about apostasy and that which may occur as men and women fall away. "Prescribe and teach these things," Paul says. He gives instruction to individuals in the church in chapter 5 of different standing. "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather to appeal to him as a father," Bob. "And to younger men," he's my father in the Lord, "and appeal to younger men as brothers," and we are to do that. And so there are various instructions which are given. And in order to properly understand these instructions, we do what? We study the languages. We study Greek and Hebrew. We study biblical theology. We study systematic theology. We study historical theology and church history to understand how the Bible has been interpreted and ought to be interpreted. We teach hermeneutics and the principles of biblical interpretation. All of these center on the instruction that comes out of the Bible. And there's a sense in which everything then which we do is guided by our God. He's the one that outlines our instruction. The text also says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, "But the goal of our instruction is love." And I think it is quite important for us to understand that instruction is not an end in itself. Instruction has a goal. It is not an end in itself. And when we're in the classroom, or whether we're in the pulpit, that instruction which we give is not the end which God has in view. It's very interesting to me, as I've looked at my past ministry, when I have looked at the instruction as an end in itself and attempted vigorously to argue a case, it's been easy for me to become argumentative. And that ought not to be the case. We ought to understand that the instruction is taking us to a goal. And that's what Paul is urging upon us. The football season is grinding slowly to its completion. And in the game of football, the game is not an end in itself. Just going out on the field and playing is not sufficient, is it? You've got to get that ball over the goal line more times than your opponent. And if a coach does not do that, the coach has not fulfilled his responsibilities and he loses his job. In basketball, some of us are better than others. In basketball, it's the same principle, isn't it? More balls through the hoop, through the goal. And so we must always understand the instruction is not an end in itself, but there is a goal. And Paul tells us that goal. But the goal of our instruction is love. The goal of our instruction is love. And as I see it, that is love, which is described by Scripture, is defined by Scripture, and it is exemplified in Scripture. And I'd like you to see that, because love is not just a wishy-washy sensibility. It is very concrete. It is defined and described and exemplified in the corpus of Scripture. And I think one of the tremendous tasks that we have, and one of the great privileges we have, is to study the Word of God to better understand in all of its ramifications what this love is really about. Let me refer you to three passages of Scripture that I think help us very much. 1 John chapter 5, and verse 3 especially. But I'll read verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Here is a definition of love. It's very simple. Love outwardly is keeping God's commandments. If you love God, you do not take His name in vain and use it loosely. If you love your neighbor, you do not lie to your neighbor. You do not steal from your neighbor. You do not covet your neighbor's possessions. You do not commit adultery with your neighbor's wife. That's not love. And the definition of love is very simple, very concrete, and very clear. And our Lord Jesus Christ exemplified that definition. He kept the law perfectly. He walked the life of love in that perspective. But that's not enough. Scripture also describes this love for us in a passage that is quite familiar, 1 Corinthians 13. A description of love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and following. Love is patient. Now, you don't have to go very far to understand that that's a description, correct? Subject. Linking verb. Predicate adjective, which describes the subject. I'm very grateful to people in Sterling that they could understand that. Not everyone does. But it is quite simple, isn't it? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous, does not brag, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is patient. And I think one of the great things that we can do in the ministry, and we need to teach our students to do, is to present the truth of God. We must present the truth. It's required of us. But to do so patiently, to do so kindly, to do so gently, because the goal of our instruction is love. And we know what the definition is, and here's the description: to do so with patience and kindness. But there's a third aspect to this love that I think is quite important. I've already alluded to the fact that our Lord Jesus exemplifies this love, and we know that this is the case. But in Philippians, in the second chapter, and the fifth verse, there is a text that I think exemplifies this love in our Lord Jesus. Listen to it. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the text goes on to speak about his going to the cross and being obedient to the point of death. Have this attitude. Well, my oldest daughter is a vice principal, not a principal of vice, but a vice principal in a high school. And my brother here also works in counseling in a high school situation. And they know firsthand about the attitude of many teenagers. And attitude can be a problem, but attitude that is in line with God and with Jesus Christ is a great blessing. And this attitude is an attitude of love. I am quite taken by a very short statement of Shed, anyway. I'm quite taken by a statement of his, which is short and arresting. Love is inclination. And he's talking about the inclination of the heart and the attitude of the heart. And I think he gets this from Jonathan Edwards. It's the attitude of heart which is disposed towards God and embraces God and Jesus Christ that he's talking about. And when we love the Lord our God and have an attitude, a disposition of heart which is disposed positively toward God and toward Jesus Christ, this is the love of God. The attitude, the inclination is love. And I think that's what Philippians is saying about our Lord Jesus Christ. Have this attitude, have this love in your heart, which was also in Christ Jesus. And when you have the proper attitude, what will happen? You will embrace the commandments of God. And you will walk in those commandments as described in 1 Corinthians 13 with kindness and patience and forbearance. And there will be displayed then a love of God. And I think this is what Paul is talking about. The goal of our instruction is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And so I think we can be confident, dear colleagues and dear students and others, I think that we can be confident that God produces a love in the hearts of our students by working what we've talked about already in their hearts, and we can be confident that God will work a love in their hearts by producing and creating this good conscience and pure heart and sincere faith. What is the pure heart? It's a heart that is cleansed by God. And the heart is the center and core of the inner person, the thinking and the feeling and the volition. And when God operates on the heart, the thinking is changed. And when God operates on the heart, the emotions are bridled. And when God operates on the heart, the will is altered, the inclination of the heart is altered, the disposition is changed, and love is produced. See, the goal of our instruction is love out of a pure heart, and God is pleased to use the instruction to bring about that love by changing the heart and producing and creating a good conscience. The word good simply means godlike. And the conscience is nothing less than knowledge alongside of activities that we engage in. Co-knowledge. Con-science. You've heard it. Chili con carne, haven't you? Chili with meat. Con carne. Conscience. Knowledge with the activity. And when we enter into an activity, our consciences speak. And our consciences ought to be godlike. So they say yes when God says yes, and no when God says no. And praise be unto God, through Jesus Christ, our consciences are cleansed. And through instruction in the Word, our consciences are trained so that we say yes when God says yes. The goal of our instruction is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. A faith that is not hypocritical. A faith that stands and says, yes, I do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I do trust Him as the one who died on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty due to me for my sins. And I am free from the guilt of sin because of the work of Jesus Christ. And it is unhypocritical because the life then walked indicates, because of conscience and because of a heart directed towards God, the life then walks in obedience to those commandments, not grudgingly, not with a burden, but with a love for God, with an attitude positively directed towards God. And the goal of our instruction is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And I guess one of the things that excites me is the fact that God really has designed biblical instruction to create in human beings a biblical love. That's God's design. And again, I think that comes out of the text which is before us. We talk about the means of grace sometimes, don't we? The Catechism asks the question, what are the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of redemption? And the answer is, the outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of His redemption are His ordinances, especially the Word, the sacraments, and prayer. It's the instruction in the Word that is a means of grace. And this means of grace produces a love by creating that good conscience and sincere faith and pure heart. And so, dear friends in Christ, it is my hope that I will have continued confidence that it is indeed God's plan to use me and to use the rest of us who have the privilege of teaching here, that God will use us to build in our students a love for Him through our instruction. And I think if we understand this text properly, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. I think we can fully expect our God to replicate that love in each and every congregation in which our students subsequently have the privilege of preaching and teaching. That's God's plan, and that's God's goal, and that's our goal too. Praise be unto God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for the great privilege you extend to me. Thank you, Father, that we have a privilege of working together in this particular setting to further your plans and purposes. And we pray together that the goal of our instruction will indeed be love, and that this love will be replicated in congregation after congregation in which men from this place pass to serve your church. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our great Lord, and the one along with you and your Spirit we have the privilege to serve. Amen.